This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. And that is the college basketball theme at CBS, which is getting a lot of action this week as March Madness gets underway. The other sound being heard across America was the sound of paper being torn as people realized their brackets were busted. Nobody got through for the billion-dollar prize, you know, the one that Warren Buffett had backed up. Now, it only took 25 games for those brackets to be busted. But there were a couple of stories related to March Madness this week that I found fascinating. One was a call by some people for at least one of the teams to just walk out there and refuse to play because the players were fed up with being essentially volunteers in a multi-billion dollar organization. That, would, of course, would be the NCAA. The players don't get paid for playing, and yet the networks and the schools and the NCAA itself make huge amounts of money off of that. And then there was also a lawsuit filed on Monday in a New Jersey federal court by my next guest, Jeffrey Kessler, who's a high-profile sports labor attorney. And I've asked him to join us today and explain what that lawsuit is that he filed against the NCAA. Jeffrey, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks. Good morning.
There was no chance that any of these players were going to just walk out and stage an on-the-court strike. But what is it that you're trying to do in a court of law?
Well, we have filed a class action on behalf of all the current players at Division I men's basketball and also in the top level of football. And what we are seeking is to strike down the rules that the NCAA has that prevents the schools from deciding to fairly compensate these players. This would let the schools do what they want to do, wouldn't force the schools to do anything, but it would get rid of these illegal rules.
When you say an antitrust claim, are you saying that all the schools as part of the NCAA are acting together and it's almost like a price-fixing thing?
Well, that's clearly what it is. That we already know. There are previous cases that have struck down similar NCAA rules which limited college football TV broadcasts. Because of that decision, that's why we have so many TV broadcasts today. There were rules struck down limiting how much coaches could be paid. We know that they are competitors, and it's just a question of what the antitrust laws allow them to do or not do.
What about the argument that the NCAA and its member schools and a lot of people always say, which is, look, it's not that these guys aren't being paid, both men and women, we should say, because there are girls and boys sports affected by the NCAA all over the country. So when we talk about these people who are playing on these teams, they're not getting nothing in return. They're getting a college education. They're getting a dorm to live in. They're getting food to eat. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, many of these athletes never graduate. Second of all, says all we're asking is to take away the restrictions. If the schools don't individually want to offer more than a scholarship, no one is forcing them to do so. What we're asking for are the same rules that apply to every other business in this country. And anyone who watches March Madness, who does not think the NCAA tournament is a big business, is not watching the same television that we're watching.
In your case, some of the plaintiffs that you're representing here are Clemson defensive back Martin Jenkins, Rutgers basketball player J.J. Moore, UTEP tight end Kevin Perry, Cal tight end Bill Tindall. But you're not looking for specific payoffs for these guys, are you?
What the thrust of this case is to get what we call an injunction. An injunction for the class, which means all the players. And what that will do is simply require these two businesses to comply with the same laws that apply to the Disney company, to the same laws that apply to the General Motors, which is all that this is. These are big businesses being run by the colleges, which is perfectly fine, but that doesn't mean that they can exploit rules that says this athletes don't get anything.
But in specific, you're not asking for damages for these guys or anyone else who joins this class action, are you?
The four individual players have a right to seek their own individual damages. We're not asking for damages for the class, but that's not really what the thrust of this case is about. But they have the right to do that.
I mentioned the NCAA argument where they say, you know, these students are student athletes and they are getting an education. You are quite correct in pointing out that many of them aren't really getting a real education, and if they are, many of them are also not graduating college. But what about the NCAA's other argument, the notion of amateurism? It's important to preserve amateurism.
Well, there's nothing amateur about the football championship or the NCAA tournament except the fact that the athletes are not getting paid. This notion may have made sense for all sports 100 years ago. It may make sense today for many other sports where there isn't a huge revenue machine, where there isn't conferences who, as is the case here, have their own cable TV businesses, which their own channels. What does that have to do with amateurism and the education model? These are businesses, and they should be treated as such. And that's what we think people recognize and the courts will recognize.
You have a history of litigation that actually has changed sports. You helped bring free agency to the NFL with a big jury verdict for the NFL Players Association more than two decades ago. And I know you also do some legal work for the NFL Players Association and the NBA Players Union and for others as well. What was it that made you say, I'm finally going to take on college sports?
Well, when I started out doing this in the late 70s, the professional athletes had very, very little economic freedom, very few economic rights. And we spent a long time getting decisions for the NFL players, for the NBA players, for other player groups, which led to the creation of a fair economic system in those sports. And the history was all the owners in those sports said, if we have free agency, if we allow this, these sports will be ruined. We can't treat athletes like workers. We won't do that. It'll kill the sports. Well, we now know the opposite is true. Every one of those professional sports is stronger, more popular, with higher television ratings today, with the players getting their fair share and rights. We've been looking at college a very, very long time. We are convinced now is the time for a similar change in college football and in college basketball.
Do you think that this could have some effect, however, on the NCAA's structure about how it deals with the individual schools, essentially making them independent contractors outside of the umbrella organization?
Well, we don't know what's going to happen. It very well may be that a group of these schools who are in the big business here are different from the schools who are not. There's very little comparison, for example, between the mammoth financial machine at the University of Texas and how sports are treated at the military academies.
Yeah.
They're all NCAA members. Maybe they need to be broken out, and the business schools need to have a fair system that compensates the players, and schools who choose to just be academic institutions work differently. Could be what evolves, but that'll be what the market decides after we get rid of the illegal restrictions.
What I find fascinating about this is everyone always thinks of college athletes as being the elites at the school because they get everything. You know, their whole life they've had things handed to them, you know, anything they want, you know. But it turns out that a kid who goes to the medical school program and works in biotech at that school, he could have a paying job and make a lot of money while he's in college. That's something that's not offered to these athletes, is it?
No, that's exactly right. And I would note that these athletes, in addition to being students, are working 40, 50, 60 hours a week as athletes, for which they're not being compensated. So in many respects, plus their injury factor,
yep.
which is huge on the football side.
It is very.
It really is there in basketball as well, but on the football side,
it's horrible.
You put all that together, and in some ways, these are some of the most mistreated.
Yep. Jeffrey Kessler, the attorney who filed the lawsuit against the NCAA. Good luck. I hope you win it. And thanks for joining me here today.